Voyage Guide to the Galaxy podcast. The official podcast of GalacticVoyage.com. We talk about Star Wars.
Fanboy style.
You've taken your first step into a larger world.
Welcome to Fanboy's Guide to the Galaxy. I'm Eric Boggs, and with me as always is my co-host Ryan Zasso. This is episode 20. In this episode, you announce our winner of the 100 Facebook Fans Contest, and announce some Force Unleashed 2 news, and discuss this episode of Clone Wars.
First, our winner of our 100 Facebook Fan Contest is Jeremiah Shipman. And, you know, we've been meaning to announce this for a while, but we just haven't found the right opportunity. So now it's finally there. So we've contacted Jeremiah, and we have shipped out the prize. You can still download Glenn Nelson's great new High Adventure album, Acoustic Prog Pop, and it has all the best songs from, you know, Star Wars and Indiana Jones and, you know, just some great songs. So go to highadventuremusic.com to download this.
There's also a new song by Glenn Nelson called Ben Quadraneros. That's a great song, especially if you get the joke. If you're a Force Cast fan, or just follow Kyle Newman on Twitter or anything like that, you'll get the joke, because Kyle kind of has an obsession with Ben Quadraneros.
Yeah, and Glenn actually gave us permission to play one of his newest songs, and that is Dark Side Crashes. So here is the song.
Confusion that's hers.
Alright, so let's talk about the newest Force Unleashed 2 announcements. Since we've been gone, there has been...
There's a new trailer out there. Just gonna put it out there.
And then there's also two new TV spots. One of them takes place... I believe it's Hoth. It's a snow planet of some kind. And then the other one shows Darth Vader crashing through some walls, and then Starkiller ignites his lightsabers, and then it's over. And then also on Tuesday, October 12th, I believe.
Alright. Well, I saw another, I think it was a TV spot, but it was definitely cool. Starkiller was fighting a whole bunch of, you know, stormtroopers, and then Darth Vader, it's kind of in like a forest area, and Darth Vader just, you know, comes up there, and then it's... Starkiller does that thing where he...
Disintegrates the
force. You know, he does that force blast. Yeah, he disintegrates the stormtroopers, so I thought that was awesome.
Yeah, I said clones, didn't I? I meant stormtroopers. But anyways, the demo for Force Unleashed 2 was released on Xbox 360 and PlayStation 3 on Tuesday, October 12th. And it's definitely a great demo. I played it twice.
Cool. Yeah, I have not played it, and I won't be playing it because I have no systems for it. And what is the demo about? Like, where are you?
So the demo takes place on Kamino. It's right after Darth Vader abandons you and tries to kill you, and you have to escape Kamino, and then there's a bunch of like crazy stuff you can do. Like, in this game, you wield two lightsabers, which is probably a known fact, but like in this one, you can cut off their arms and legs and heads, which is something you could not do in the first one, and you can do a mind trick, which convinces your opponents to either kill themselves or fight their enemies, and there's also Force Fury mode, which is really awesome. Basically, your force powers, which are already awesome, are magnified by like 100. So if you have a PlayStation 3 or an Xbox 360, I'd recommend getting this demo. It's free. It takes about an hour to download, depending on your connection.
Alright, yeah, so where can you find this? Is it for free in like the Xbox
Marketplace? Yeah, free in the Xbox Marketplace, and then free on the PlayStation Network.
Alright, cool.
The official Star Wars site has announced Star Wars Galaxy, which is a brand new four-weekly comic from Titan Comics, showcasing the greatest Star Wars comic adventures from a galaxy far, far away. Launching on October 28th in the UK, each four-weekly 76 issue contains three pulse-pounding Star Wars comic adventures. Issue 1 goes beneath the grim, breathing apparatus of cinema's greatest villain to follow Darth Vader as he tracks down a Jedi and a Padawan who escaped the deadly purge of Order 66 and purged the Hidden Blade. Invasion begins with a terrifying prologue as a deadly new enemy stirs in the reaches beyond the known galaxy, and the Yuuzhan Vong descend on a peaceful New Republic, featuring Luke Skywalker, Han Solo, and Leia Organa Solo, alongside a stunning new cast. Invasion is another thrill-packed glimpse into every corner of the galaxy. So this is basically just a bunch of old comics in one magazine, I guess. I think this is just in the UK.
Yeah, which that's a little unfortunate. I don't know if they're releasing the comics over here in the States, you know, the same that they're releasing them then. So, you know, it could be new comics for them. Mm-hmm. But I think it's actually pretty cool because, it's a lot more convenient than buying each individual issue when you just have them. Is that what they're doing? Are they just packing all like the monthly issues into one big like volume?
Oh, I'm not sure. I mean, there's one called Purge, and I'm pretty sure it's a pretty old comic.
Yeah.
And then Invasion, I think that's the very first Invasion comic, and then the Old Republic has a comic from the Old Republic comic web comics, I think. But it was
so maybe they're going to be. Yeah, maybe they're going to be like chronicling some of the most memorable comics or something. You know, maybe they'll go back to Marvel or something like that. I think that's definitely cool. Unfortunately, I don't think it's available in the States. So.
Well, if you live in the UK, this is something you should definitely check out.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, and with that, we're going to go into our main discussion, and that we're going to be talking about the Clone Wars episode, Corruption. And to be honest, this episode's been getting a lot of flack lately. It's kind of unfortunate because I actually kind of like the episode. I kind of went into it with low expectations. And like you said, you know, I went in with low expectations, but, you know, came out, you know, appreciating it a bit more than someone who went in it with the same kind of expectations as all the other Clone Wars episodes. So what were your initial thoughts, Eric?
I thought the episode was decent. It was more story than action, and that's okay. The show wouldn't be as good if it were only action. I thought the music was great, right, as well as the visuals and the story. I think this episode was a great episode to set up the next one with Ahsoka.
Yeah, and, you know, like that, I think that it's going to be a lot like the Zillow Beast arc, where, you know, the first Zillow Beast wasn't that popular, but then it really set up the next episode, which was, you know, extremely popular. So I think that we could be dealing with something like that, and I think it actually works a tiny bit better than some of the other political episodes.
Yeah, I think I noticed that the show is that politics play a huge part on it, unlike the movies, because in the movies, the politics are pretty straightforward in all the movies, but in this show, you've got to get to pay attention, because if you don't, you're not going to know what's going on.
Right. I think it's cool that we kind of get to see, some of the backlashes of the planets there. Yeah, I thought that was awesome. And why I had low expectations for this episode is mainly because of Padme. I don't think that she really, you know, fits in well with the, kind of takes me out of the whole galactic war feeling of the show.
There was something that definitely took me out of this episode. It was how much they changed their clothes. Every 5 seconds, Padme and
Satine.
Yeah, Satine, they were wearing different clothes every 5 seconds. Like, their hair was different.
yeah. I think that's why they need sort of more of a balance between characters. So, so your two main characters don't suddenly have costume changes.
Yeah.
All right, well, you know, the episode is called Corruption, and it's actually they did a fairly good job with sort of displaying the corruption on Mandalore. You know, everyone from the dock managers to the school teachers. I mean, no one is, you know, safe from the corruption of Mandalore.
Yeah,
and I think it all starts with, go ahead.
Like Satine said, this is one of my favorite parts of the episode. Satine said, the most dangerous weapon in the galaxy is money.
Right, yeah. And, you know, the superintendent, you know, said it, like, why he accepted the poison drinks is because he would have a chance to keep some of the profit. And I think that's a big deal.
So did the Mugen, did they intend to poison the drinks, or did they just intend to make it cheaper?
No, I don't think that they did it purposefully, but I don't think that they're sorry they did it. You know, they're the scum and villainy. It's all a business. It's, you know. But I have to make a quick point, and there was in the courtrooms they were discussing of the politics, of the corruption, of the Senate, and then we've seen, you know, examples of characters accusing the Senate to be corrupt. You know, everyone from Qui-Gon to Dooku to Quinlan Voss, if I remember right. Mm-hmm. And if you notice, these accusations all come from non-Senate members. And if, you know, is Palpatine's influence, you know, more active than we realize? If almost everyone can see the corruption except for its own members, I think that's, you know, what if he's, like, just doing a mind trick on every decision that the Senate has to make?
That's a great point, Ryan. I would notice that until you just pointed that out.
But the person who said that is actually, which I thought was cool, is that there was a human representing the Trade Federation. Did you catch that?
Yeah, I saw it. I saw that. It was a woman, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was. And she's the one who accused Padme of being hypocritical, and then that the Senate is corrupt.
Which
we all know that the Trade Federation isn't, you know, above corruption in itself. So
yeah, because they blockaded Pantora for a reason.
And Ryloth. And, oh no, they didn't do that. Severus did that. And Naboo. So, yeah, it's definitely an interesting theme that I hope we see more of. Since this season is called Secrets Revealed, I think that they should make it a point. So, what about the Mugens?
They
very Egyptian looking.
Yeah, I was going to say that too. The garments they were wearing.
Yeah.
Dresses and all that.
Right. And I think D. Bradley Baker did a good job making these characters sound, you know, truly greedy just with their voices.
Yeah. And there wasn't any specific name for these characters, were they?
No. I think they were just called the Mugens.
Yeah. And this
what
is
about
the
that weird
time we've seen this species, right?
Yeah. I looked it up on Wikipedia. This is the first appearance that we've seen them in. So, they flew a very weird ship. I thought it was really basic.
Yeah.
I think that they could have done a way better job with it.
Yeah.
In terms of originality.
If you look closely, it looks like they're going to crash into that big dome. They're not even close to the entrance when it goes off screen to the next scene where they're inside of Mandalore.
Right. So, Satine and Padme visit the hospital, and they find out that all the children had been poisoned. So, and then the Prime Minister believes it to be Death Watch. And the Prime Minister he was very interesting in this episode, I think. And most of that intrigue I have is, you know, more towards the end, where he's sort of, you know, he seems to have most of the power here. You know, it's more like the Duchess is just making complaints that the Prime Minister has to handle. And and since this episode is called Corruption, I don't think that it's out of mind to think that sometime he might try to take over.
Yeah.
Just saying.
Possibility.
Right.
Speaking
because doesn't
of Satine, she's a very moody character. There's a scene where the captain... He was like captain of a guard or something, but
right.
He just pointed out something simple, and then she like said, "If you do that, then I'll consider you."
Yeah.
Part of it.
Yeah, she wanted him to burn the smuggler's lab, which could have been used as evidence, and he clearly stated that. And then still, I think that that's. I had a radical thought here. I think that she's. Her signs of recklessness, I think, might bring about her downfall. You know, if she loses the confidence of the people through, you know, reckless acts, then Death Watch may have an opportunity to, you know, gain control. Who knows? Maybe that was Dooku's plan since the beginning.
Do you think there's anyone else behind this? Like, behind the Mugens doing this? Do you think it's just money, or do you think it's just them... trying to get an extra buck.
I'm not really sure. It's possible, but I think... and they are, you know, smugglers. So, they're not above doing, you know, illegal stuff. And I think that it's certainly a possibility.
And there's something that the Trade Federation human said. She said that the Republic... is buying a lot off the black market illegally.
Right.
So, have you seen any of this before?
So, when Mandalore claimed neutrality, certain trade routes were closed to them, so they aren't really available to get any sort of, you know, supplies. So, I think it was. I think that that's one of the good things about this episode is there are, you know, consequences for the neutrality, and I think that's gonna ultimately either one bring about the end of Satine's reign on Mandalore, or to convince them to join in the war.
You would think they would just take the side of the Republic, because after Obi-Wan's been helping them out, Padme just helped them out, you know, they would think that they would just join the Republic.
Right.
They're going to have to definitely something sometime.
Yeah, they're definitely hinting at that something's going to happen. And we could see that in the next episode. We could not. I don't know. We might see it once Death Watch comes back around. Because if their state continues, you know, up until Death Watch is ready to try again, I think that Mandalore's going to be in pretty much ruins. And then Death Watch will have a perfect opportunity. So.
Yeah, this is just kind of a pretty cool thing I noticed that I got from StarWars.com, the episode guide, was that the bottles of tea, they say Artie's Beverage, or Vesh, and that was the original name for Jawa Juice, episode 2, before they changed it.
Cool. Let's talk about Sadeek. I thought he was a great character, you know, kind of that, kind of like Han Solo or Dash Rendar.
Yeah.
You know, he's not above, you know, bribing people, or, you know, he's also willing to sell them out. But definitely sort of, you know, scum and villainy, which is extremely apparent in this episode.
He was the British-speaking character, right?
I think it was, like, more, like, Australian or something like that.
Yeah.
Or something like that. I don't know.
It seems like any character who has that accent is usually a cool character.
Right. He actually reminded me a lot of Tamara Morrison. Kind of sort of that laid-back attitude, you know, when he's talking to Obi-Wan in Attack of the Clones in the apartment.
Yeah, he was a pretty great character, I thought.
Yeah. You know, I thought that the captain was also a cool character. He's kind of what I expect out of a Mandalorian, you know, full of pride and refuses to accept that some of his men might be corrupt. And so, what did you think of him?
The captain?
Yeah.
I thought he was a hard ass until he got shot, like, 5 seconds after he started shooting the Mugen. But yeah, he was a pretty cool character.
Certainly better than Tandevo.
Yes. He was a much more interesting character than Tandevo.
What if Tandevo got into a blaster fight?
He would probably die.
I disagree.
Really?
I think he'd... No, I'm kidding. But the fight scene, I thought that was cool, and I think it was really necessary in an episode like this, where you have, you know, sort of the action element, you know, at least somewhere in the episode, because I think if it was entirely political, I think that it would have gotten a lot more flack than it already did.
Overall, what was your rating for this episode?
What's that?
Your rating for this episode, what would you give it? 1 out of 10.
1 out of 10, I would give it a 7. Oh. You know, it was good. I think that you just have to realize, you just have to accept that this is going to set up the next episode. You know, I like seeing the Mandalorians. I like seeing them both sides. I don't care if it's, you know, the Expanded Universe side or the Clone Wars side. It's just good to see them. I'm a fan of both. And, sure, the story wasn't, you know, packed full of action, but if you look at most of the season so far, it really hasn't been packed full of action either. But yeah, definitely a good episode. I wouldn't say, you know, great, like 10 out of 10, but it definitely deserves at least a 7.
Yeah,
what
I
about you?
Agree with 7. I thought it was a pretty cool episode. Like you, I like seeing the Mandalorian, I just don't like seeing all the complaints about Clone Wars changing things.
Yeah. I actually don't mind. I like the controversy.
Well,
you know, it adds flavor to the fandom.
To to a point, the controversy is good, but once it gets to, like, I hate George Lucas and stuff like that, or Clone Wars sucks, I don't like that.
Yeah, neither do I. But I do like it when, you know, debates, you know, just, you know, good fun.
When it's in good fun, I like it. Just not when it's hateful, you know.
Right. All right. So you get give it a 7. I give it a 7. Let's talk about next week's. And, you know, I have high expectations for this. This is the first time we're going to see Ahsoka in the season. Or what? Wait, no, second time. I'm sorry. Last episode. I think this is the Ahsoka that we've been led to believe that this is her season.
Yeah.
And she's undercover in a cadet, Mandalorian cadet area.
Yeah, because in the episode we're discussing right now, episode 5, at the end of it they mentioned bringing a Padawan down to Mandalore in disguise to find some things out, and I guess it's going to be Ahsoka.
Which, I think that's a little strange, since when you watch the preview, she is way older than the cadets, and she is not the same species. So maybe she isn't exactly undercover, like, you know, assuming a false identity, but maybe sort of like in the shadows sort of thing.
Yeah.
Because I don't think anyone's going to believe that she's a cadet for an elite Mandalorian guard. But, you know, do you have high expectations for this episode?
Yeah, I do.
Well, we're going to probably have some more guests on. We don't exactly know who yet, but, you know, should be another great conversation. All right, well, that's your episode for this week. We hope you enjoyed it. We've been wanting to get back to a regular show for a while now. So, here we are. you can contact us. Our email is galaxyfanboy@yahoo.com. We really appreciate all your input.
And we have a Facebook profile or page. Just search Fanboy's Guide to the Galaxy and join it and write on our wall. We'd really appreciate that.
Yeah, as you know, as podcasters, it's really important that to know that, you know, people out there do enjoy what you do, and yeah, it's very important to us. So you can also find us on Twitter. We now have a Twitter handle, twitter.com, and our handle is @galaxyfanboy. And we do have a short link for our Facebook page. It's facebook.com/galaxyfanboy. So that's another way you can find us. You can find us on iTunes. Just look us up there. Leave a review. I mean, that really helps us grow as a show. The more ratings we get, the higher we are on the iTunes search list, so more people can find us. I think that's really important that our listening audience does expand. So, you know, more interaction can be had. So, anything else we're forgetting?
I don't think so.
All right. Well, that was your episode for this week. I'm Ryan Sasso.
I'm Eric Boggs.
And may the Force be with you. This podcast is not endorsed by Lucasfilm Limited or 20th Century Fox and is intended for informational and entertainment purposes only. Star Wars, all names, sounds, and character, or any other Star Wars-related items are the registered trademarks of Lucasfilm or the respective trademark or copyright holders.